The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you almost live from a very cool corner in Midtown Sacramento. It's the Nate Darling Show. Hi. Ha ha. It's me, Thanos, doing the announcing for tonight because, you know, shit's changing, so that's the way we roll. Hey, by the way, your host for the show, Dream Daniels, Diana Hahn, and the new boy, Sam Platts. And here he is, the host with the most, Nate!
Thanks, Thanos. It's crazy. Crazy stuff going on. We'll get it all squared away. We will, trust me. Diana is selling shoes, so she will join us for Friday's episode, not for this episode. Coming up on the show tonight, let's see what we got. We got some good stuff for you. The Giants win. Tory Hunter says things about gay people. Oh, no. We find out why the Jared diet doesn't work and what happens after that. And a few other crazy things. There's a white guy riffing on a guitar right now. By the way, holy shit, this is episode 250.
Woo-woo! Woo-woo!
250 motherfucking hours of entertainment for you.
Holy shit, Batman.
I know, right? It's crazy. So, let's get right into this and welcome our new cast member, Sam Platts. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Nate. It's a pleasure to be here. Kareem.
What's up, Sam?
I wish my voice sounded as sultry as yours does on the microphone.
Well, one day it'll hit and then you will.
One day they'll drop.
God, please.
It'll all be good. All right. So, get rid of Joe Satriani. Sam sat in a little while back with his friend Alejandro.
Alejandro, bro.
Yeah, it was the night Kareem called in sick. It was an unfortunate evening. They were coming by to just sort of hang out and watch and ended up putting him on the show. So, that happened. Before we get into this, because this is very important stuff. Hold on. Let me turn down Joe Satriani. And turn him down, because I think there's something very important that we all have to hear, and then we can really get into the show. Show 250 has to kick off with something very impressive, and here it is. That's right.
Sweet.
It's a sneezing chicken.
No way.
What?
That is a sneezing chicken.
You sound like a...
So now you know what it sounds like when a chicken sneezes. Just like this.
Sounds like a 2-year-old girl being possessed by demons.
That's what it sounded like. Thought it was like a clip from The Omen or something.
So that's that. Now, Sam, you amongst other things are a runner. You just did your second half marathon.
Yes, I did. My buttocks feels great today. Let me tell you about it.
No, okay, you keep going after that. You don't say, let me tell you about it, and then stop. You can just tell us about
tell
it.
Tell us about it, yeah.
We're right relating. Underneath the butt cheek creases, where thigh meets
short
cheek, there's some tendon action that happens there, a lot of pulling, and I don't know, it's in between pleasure and pain. It feels like a permanent grip, like someone's just groping my butt and won't let go. So it's like this... pain pleasure combo happening.
Now you know why he ran too.
That's what's up.
He'll be running another one next week.
so that's happening. And Sam and I work together during the day, well, until Friday, and then we don't anymore. So that happened.
That happened.
It sounds weird tonight. I plugged everything in tonight, and there was this weird low grade hum, and that's gone. So that, I'm happy about that. But everything sounds a little weird to me. So. I apologize if it sounds weird to you, the listener. What are you going to do? It's 250 episodes. Something had to go wrong somewhere. Now, Kareem, you had four big nights of stand-up this weekend at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova.
Congratulations.
Yes, it was a pretty good weekend for the most part. Halloween was a horrible night.
You know, it always is. I was at the Kings game on Halloween, and there were a lot of people that came as empty seats.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 12 people.
Oh, my God. Everybody was out getting hammered.
Yeah. And then they're converting Tommy's into a country bar.
Okay.
So we had to be done at 8:30 every night.
What?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing better than stand-up comedy that's over before it's really dark.
Right.
You should be able to see the sets and then go to the drive-in.
Yeah. So we we started at 7.
Oh, gosh.
And then we had to be done at 8:30 so that they can convert over to the country bar at 9.
Okay, so there's a so they don't. It's not like an ongoing process. It's just like, oh, this comes out, the PA comes in, and then yeehaw, ho down, and we all dance.
Yeah, so you know, you guys tell jokes, we get them out of here, we pull out all the tables, and then people dance.
That's an interesting business model.
Yeah. Thursday we did better than I thought we would do. Like, I thought Thursday would be like Friday was.
Right.
But we had a pretty good turnout Thursday. Saturday, we had at least, I'm going to say, 150 people.
Nice.
And then Sunday, we had about 50, maybe 60 people.
That's a decent crowd.
It's not bad
so,
at all.
But
12's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
I've done stand-up for fewer than that before. Yeah.
Because when you do stand-up for 12 people, then you're just telling jokes. When you do it for 150 people, you actually get to perform because you get the crowd interaction and they listen, and then you can do like things for dramatic pause, and it kind of works better than, yeah.
I put myself in the position of those 12 people sitting there, and a lot of people have issues with, you know, being the one loud person who stands out. And without a large crowd, you know, you're that one who's like, that joke's hilarious, but no one else thought so. You're going to feel like an ass.
Yeah. We had a guy Saturday night that was that person, and we always loved that person because he makes it okay for everybody else to laugh.
Yeah, because nobody else is going to sound silly because he's already over the top.
Yeah. And Saturday's show was great. Hunter Hill is hilarious. His songs were great. There were two people that I noticed that weren't laughing when I was on stage. There was one guy who had brought his two teenage daughters in, and I don't think they had intentionally come there.
Right.
Like, I think they went to go to the Spaghetti Factory, and the wait was too long, so they came upstairs.
You take what we can get, right?
Yeah, and he looked a little bit redneckish.
He was waiting for that country turnover.
Yeah, so he was not laughing at anything. He just had this look on his face. And then there was a guy in the front of the stage who had little man syndrome.
Oh, no.
Yes. So he had this condescending, make me laugh kind of look on his face the whole time. And I wanted to fuck with him, but the crowd had been so good all night. I was like, I'm not going to fuck up the rest of the set just to fuck with this asshole.
Well, and I know guys that will do that because you pointed out there were two people that weren't laughing in the crowd. And instead of going, oh, my God, everybody here is having a great time except for two idiots, you're like, fuck these two people. I want to fuck with that guy. I don't want to do it. That's kind of how comedians are wired.
You snipe them, huh?
And I kind of bought him into one of my jokes a little bit, and he still didn't laugh at it.
You made an effort, though.
But I made an effort. But like I said, but then I was like, I could go off script and just fuck with him. Or I could just keep what we had going because we had a really good thing going. So I'm like, I'm not going to fuck it up for this dumbass. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't deserve the attention.
That's right.
I kind of wanted to pull my dick out and piss on the top of his head.
Only on the top, though.
Just the top.
Well, it would be splatter on the other people. It would be bad times.
Yeah.
So you mentioned before we started the show that, and we'll talk about this on Friday's show a little bit, all these videos about women getting harassed on the street. That was one of your bigger responses.
Yeah, because so I watched the video.
And this is to be, is this the 10 hours video?
This is the 10 hours video.
And by the way, why would you make a woman walk around for 10 hours straight?
That's harassment itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the Bataan death march.
And so I watched the video, and I counted like five guys that went over the line out of the 100 so.
Yeah, they went until they got 100 people.
Yeah. So I counted like five guys who were out of line on the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, but I was like, look, women, if you want men to feel guilty about or to feel your pain on this, that video was not the way to do it.
Right.
Because for men, we look at it like, fuck, if we walked around New York for 10 hours and 100 women hit on us, all of us would be walking around New York for 10 hours. You know, I was like, if you want us to feel your pain, then you have one man walk around New York for 1 hour and have 10 men hit on him.
There you go.
And we'd be like, okay, this is some bullshit. We need to check this shit.
This is the aggressive homosexual catcalling.
Yes, yeah. That's it. That's the only way we're going to understand it, because if we put ourselves in their shoes, we're thinking women are hitting on us. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand how hard it is for us to get female attention.
Word.
Yeah, and the whole argument is like, where is the line? And some women are like, look, I shouldn't have to talk to you at all in public. And again, I didn't count exactly how many people. There were some people that went over the line. The guy that walked next to her for 5 minutes.
That dude's just a freak.
But then there was another, the other guy that was walking next to her, he wasn't following her. He was walking and she caught up with him. The guy who actually was talking to her.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the same guy.
Yeah, no, it was two different guys.
There were two dudes, yeah.
Yeah. But if you actually watched, like, everybody thinks that he was following her. Mm. But if you actually watched the video, he was walking and they caught up with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And instead of her keeping the pace that she was at when she first caught up with him, which meant she would have kept going
past his pace,
she kind of kept with his pace. And so he kept talking to her. But, you know, that, you know, stuff that really happens doesn't really matter, you know, if it doesn't fit the narrative.
Well, and we'll talk about this more on the next show. I just wanted to bring it into what you talked about in your show.
And I'm going to say this real quick before we get into it deep on the next show. You know, it's kind of hard for me to tell my boy, hey, don't disrespect women when he got four and I'm sitting at home by myself on Fridays. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave that there for now. We'll discuss it some more when we get to the next show.
Cool. So speaking of comedians, on Friday of last week, I got to meet John Mulaney and Seton Smith from the show Mulaney.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
They were
really.
How was they?
They were super cool. Both of them were really, really cool guys. They were very chill. They were waiting around to go on the Fox 40 morning show and, talked to them a little bit, gave them the card for the podcast, said, hey, you guys are on the road. You get a lot of downtime. If you're bored, here's the podcast. Gave them each a card.
Cool, man.
And I said, you can check it out or you can rip up the card as soon as I leave. Either way, it's whatever you want to do. And then Mulaney goes, you know what? Maybe we'll just play it on stage for an hour so we don't have to do any work.
That guy always cracking jokes.
Yes.
That Mulaney. The show. And here's the thing. There were a lot of people who have been slagging on the show. And the sitcom, they just had their fourth episode air. And for something new like that to get all like, oh, no, it's terrible. You should never watch it. It's awful. It's this. It's that. You don't really have your shit worked out by your fourth show.
No.
You just don't. So I'm, you know, I saw the, I think it was the third show that I saw. And I've got, it was the second one I saw. I saw the second one. And I DVR'd the third one and the fourth one. So I got to catch up. But what I will say is I heard all these people bitching about it and I watched it. And while the second show wasn't great, I did not at any point go, oh, my God, this is fucking terrible. I can't watch this. Oh,
yeah.
So it was one of those things where I saw you see potential and stuff. And, you know, it's everybody's got to work out their shit. The writer's got to work out their shit. The actor's got to work out their shit. And you know, the first couple, they're going to go in and yeah, they had some kind of standardized sitcom stuff, probably just like, okay, let's get through into this.
Well, when when a television station is putting that much money in it, then that's how it operates.
Well, but here's the thing. Everybody wants it to be a home run out of the box. And so few shows really are.
No.
I mean, I can count. Honestly, if you go back through, and I've been trying to think which shows, like right out of the bat, were just, they hit their stride perfectly first show. Home Improvement was one, for what show that is, with Tim Allen. If you go back and see the pilot of that, it's perfect. It's very small. They kept it to the family. Mm-hmm. He's fixing the dishwasher with his youngest son. They got their shirts off. He nearly gets electrocuted. They make the point that he's handy, but he blows stuff up. But his wife still loves him, and his kids are cool, and he makes noises.
He's brilliant.
And then they grew it out from there. That was one, and the other one would be The Sopranos. Those are the only two shows I can think of that in the pilot episode, they really were able to get in, set up what everything was really in a nice, succinct manner without it being just boring exposition of, well, this is this person and they do this, and this is this person and they do this.
Like, NCIS is like the most popular television show in the world.
Mind-blowing.
And the way it is now, and the characters, they all got reworked during the process of doing the show. You know, like from the first through the third season, they all got reworked. Like a lot of the stuff that Tony does, Gibbs did in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. So like if you throw something out before you give it a chance to get its legs, and
so I would say this: if you've watched Mulaney and you weren't sold on it, give it a few more weeks and then come back and watch it again.
Yeah.
Give it another shot because if nothing else, it's worth it to give a couple of dudes who are very cool, you know, 28 yeah. minutes of your time to go, oh, okay.
You know, give it a month, you know, at least to see where it goes.
Yeah, let them get into six show. By the sixth episode, they should have an idea of what everything's going. They've already filmed 13. They're done. They're in the can.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give that a shot. And
give yeah. Mulaney a chance.
Give Mulaney a chance. That's how my Friday started. My Friday ended with me at the Kings game. Got to see Rudy Gay in the gayest game of the week. What? Threw in 40 points.
Damn.
And the Kings win. Kings win. Kings win. And then they beat the Clippers this weekend.
Yeah, I wish I had went to that one.
That was in L.A.
That was in L.A.?
That was in L.A.
Yeah, I saw the box score on that, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, well, you know what, Darren Cotton, we're going to go into sports a little bit here. Thank God Diana's not here. It would be exactly the same if she was, just quietly sitting over here saying nothing. The Kings' new point guard, Darren Collison.
Yeah.
He's quite good.
He finally found his legs.
Yeah, you know what? And
he's like Mulaney.
He's like Mulaney.
Give him a couple episodes.
Give him a couple of teams.
And he did really well. He's playing well with Cousins, playing well with Gay, and those three guys. It's the start of something interesting. So the Kings should at least be interesting this year.
Cool.
How good will they be? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
they got to be better than the Lakers.
Oh, poor Kobe. I like Kobe. I like Kobe, okay?
I like Kobe Ty.
I like
who that is, Sam?
I'm just going to nod my head and laugh.
trust me, I think you would like Kobe Ty, too. Okay.
Probably. So, meanwhile, the San Francisco Giants won the World Series, huzzah, in seven games. And, of course, after you win the World Series, they have a lot of trophies to hand out, including the World Series MVP award. It went to Madison Bumgarner, and to make the presentation, Chevy sent their executive, Rick, and it's pronounced, I think, Wilde. It's spelled W-I-L-D-E, and Rick is R-I-K-K. And, well, I'll let you give a listen to Rick making the presentation of the MVP award to Madison Bumgarner. It's really quite something.
Thanks. Madison, congratulations. As the official sponsor or the official vehicle of Major League Baseball, Chevrolet is proud to participate in this prestigious award. Along with our dealers, we are also extremely honored to give back to this sport by supporting baseball in cities and towns across this nation. At Chevrolet, we have we have also been proud of the latest and greatest technology in our truck lineup, which is the all-new 2015 Chevy Colorado. It combines class-winning and leading technology and stuff with Wi-Fi powered by OnStar. Sitting there.
It's class-leading technology and stuff.
You sound like he was about to cry the whole time.
Oh, no, he's just excessively out of breath. But there's just a little
and
more.
Stuff.
Just a little bit more.
On screen, to recognize your performance in this 2014 World Series, I proudly present to you very own set of keys to the 2015 Chevy Colorado. Thank Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
He just passed out, didn't he? He's on the ground.
He looks super relieved. Here's the other fun part. That truck was recalled.
Oh!
Really?
So, yes.
Oh, wow.
The truck that they presented with the World Series MVP was recalled.
Was that before or after he presented it?
After.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't that particular truck, Sam. It was the entire line. So,
of course.
So that happened, and the Tigers got out of the playoffs pretty early. And Torrey Hunter has spoken out before about gay players in the locker room. He's said things like, "For me as a Christian, it will be uncomfortable because in all my teachings and all my learning, biblically, it's not right. It will be difficult and uncomfortable." But that was 2 years ago when he made those comments. Only 8 states allowed same-sex couples to marry. Now 32 of them do. There has been a change in how the country views same-sex marriage, and maybe Torrey Hunter has caught up. Or not. Here's a radio ad for Asa Hutchinson, a Republican who's running for governor in Torrey Hunter's home state of Arkansas.
This is Pine Bluff native and Major League Baseball player Torrey Hunter. I'm asking you to vote for my friend Asa Hutchinson for governor. Dr. King said that men should be judged by the content of their character. Today, we too often prejudge political candidates by their party label. I'm asking you to consider Asa for his actions. As a lawyer, Asa fought for more majority African-American districts in the state's legislature. Asa is committed to the principles we hold dear, like a strong faith in God, equal justice for all, and keeping marriage between one man and one woman.
Hold on, those last two statements don't necessarily go together.
But that had a sweet groove going on in the background.
He was in a groove. He's rolling with it. And then all of a sudden,
we hold dear, like a strong faith in God, equal justice for all, and keeping marriage between one man and one woman. Asa wants all children to have access to computer science, to expand charter schools, and bring more jobs and small businesses into our communities. Asa won't take your vote for granted. Let's make real change in our community by casting party labels aside and voting our convictions. Vote Asa Hutchinson for governor. He's someone we can count on. Paid for by Asa for governor.
Okay, so the subtext of that ad is, hey, black people, it's okay to vote for a Republican.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
I did enjoy that. He's for equal rights for everybody and keeping marriage between a man and a woman. Wait, what? Oh, whoa, what? Oh well.
You remember, was it that the Mormon proposition that kept gay people from getting married?
Yes, Prop 8.
Prop 8, yeah. Yeah, the reason why it didn't pass because the black people voted for it.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm for gay marriage because I don't think anybody should be... I don't think marriage should be a...
State regulated
thing. I mean, marriage should be a state thing,
not a religion.
Not a religion thing, right? So if your religion says that it's not okay, then that's your shit, and you deal with that over there.
Yeah. So right. So don't let gay people get married in your church.
Exactly. Yeah.
If that's your thing,
don't get married in their church. But I married gay people already, so fuck the rest of y'all.
Right on.
You mean you perform the service for gay people? You haven't actually gotten married to another homosexual?
No. And I'd have to be a homosexual to get married to another homosexual. But I have.
I tried to slip that by.
That was good. That was sharp.
And he caught it, too. Yeah. We're a thinking man show here.
It's happening.
We didn't get 250 episodes by not thinking shit through. And just think about this. When we started this 250 shows ago, there was a very gay man sitting where Kareem is.
Yeah, he was.
Still is. And engaged to be married.
Yeah.
So
congratulations.
Yes.
Had to hit him up like, hey, you need somebody to perform the ceremony? I will do that.
Well, yeah, if he flies you to where they're having it.
Where are they going?
Oh, I forget exactly where it is. It's one of those destination weddings.
I should have known he would do a destination wedding.
Oh, yeah. So they're doing that. But did you guys see Saturday Night Live this week?
I did.
Missed it.
You had your half marathon on Sunday morning.
Sleep early that night.
Saturday Night Live on Saturday, Chris Rock was the host, and it was a really black show, and it was also a really funny show, which was more important. What's going on? There's a lot of distraction going on.
Yeah. Cat just jumped on the refrigerator.
That's fine.
I was going to do dishes in the sink.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's going to do. They brought back Saturday Night Live brought back its fake black voices talk show. How's he doing? Asking the big question: what would it take for President Obama to lose support amongst black voters? Here's how that went.
You're watching PBS New York.
Welcome to How's He Doing? The show where the black voter takes a frank, honest look at President Obama and asks, how's he doing? You're watching this because it's too early for football, but too late for church. Well, the midterm elections are on Tuesday, and it doesn't look good for the president. Since we last checked, Obama's approval rating has dropped by 5 points to hit a record low of 41%. But even worse than that, the president's approval rating among black voters has dropped 7 points, all the way down to 92%. Joining me to discuss this dip is our unbiased panel. Ronnie Williams is a writer for Ebony Magazine. Natalie Dickerson is a senior editor for Black Voices on the Huffington Post. Denise London is a cultural critic for Vibe. And Kevin Michael Jakes hosts a show called Shaking My Head on Sirius FM's new Mm-mm channel.
Yes.
Good to be here.
All right, well, the midterms are looking bleak. Republicans are likely going to take the Senate.
I can't remember the last time I saw five African-Americans as the only people in a sketch on SNL.
You've never seen five African-Americans. Only people in the skit on SNL. That's how rare it is. I can't even say it.
You've lost the ability
can't
to
find
speak.
The words for it.
That's it.
And many Americans have been disappointed with the president's handling of the Ebola crisis, immigration, and ISIS. So I'm asking, for real?
For real.
Should we have voted for Mitt Romney?
It's a 5.5 minute sketch, so we're not going to play the whole thing. But you get the idea. And I believe it was Chaz Hawkins who used to tell, maybe still tells the joke. He goes, people ask me if I voted for Obama because he's black. And I say, no, I voted for Obama because I'm black.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's Chaz's joke. Anyway.
It's something like that, yeah.
It's funnier when he tells it because okay. I'm not black.
Really?
Had us all fooled, Nate.
Damn it.
Sorry. Well, I can break out Black Nate. If you'd like to start the character of Black Nate, I can do that. Ponder that for a while.
To think about that.
Please. Yes, please.
All right. Well, if you need any evidence that Yelp reviewers aren't the only people on the website who are terrible at life, well, look no further because Chef Bak Nguyen of Cleveland's Ninja City Kitchen was apparently pretty displeased with a customer named Ruchu's negative Yelp review. His response was to find the reviewer on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
And send them some truly unhinged, racially charged messages. Fortunately, Ruchus grabbed his screen capture of the whole exchange, and here's the exchange of what went down. All spelling and grammatical errors are Gwen's own. Gwen, Ruchu, thanks for the review on Yelp. Great to hear feedback from food experts, especially when they're here with girls who are not their girlfriend.
Ooh.
Low blow.
Next line. Do not come back to either of my restaurants ever again, little piece of shit. Come talk to me, fuckhead. Have fucking fun, an ugly Indian bitch behind your ugly Asian bitch's back, you pussy motherfucker. BTW, ramen noodles are not made from soba or buckwheat. You are retarded and have no business trying to trash someone's business when you have no idea what you're talking about. If I ever see you near my restaurant again, you'll be in trouble. Peace, fucker.
Wow.
So this guy,
what a lovely
opens up
man.
This guy opens up his Facebook and gets this, and his reply is, you really are something, man. And then the restaurateur continues.
Oh, no.
Thanks, homie. See you around. Straight up, though, if I ever see you near my places of business, we are going to have a discussion. One day when you're not living off mommy and daddy, you'll understand. You're ugly and physically weak, and your girlfriend is an ugly piece of shit. Pushing eating noodles? Which is probably why you're now chasing Punjabi poos.
Wow.
No, he didn't. Oh, no, he didn't.
So the response is then, I'm not even going to respond to this. But then he goes on, we were there with four other people, and no, I don't live with my parents. You, on the other hand, need to respond in a better manner. You are not only putting yourself on the line, but also your business. Have you seen Hell's Kitchen episode with Amy's baking company? You remind me of her. Well, actually, it's wrong. It's Kitchen Nightmares. But thanks for playing, Ruchu. And the restaurateur continues, "No, boy, I don't watch TV. I work for a living." Bottom line is that your ass is in trouble. If I ever see you in person trying to trash my business when you know we have mutual acquaintances and you know who I am is tantamount to you fucking with me personally. So I'll be watching you, little man. I'll be watching you. Peace. Do not respond to this message.
No way. He did not end with "do not respond to this message." Because I have to win this.
I will have the last word.
That's
peace.
What it is.
That's it.
What a gangster.
Don't talk back.
Wow. His mother would be embarrassed.
So the restaurateur has now officially made a public apology, and it's actually
not help.
It is a real legit apology. He doesn't make excuses for himself. He doesn't pull the "sorry you got offended." No, it's an honest to goodness, "I done fucked up, and it's entirely my own fault" apology. And perhaps most impressively, he offers everyone involved in the Facebook boycott page, which got launched because of this.
How do I get on that?
You have to go to Cleveland. A free meal as long as they'll leave a comment card.
That makes all kinds of
sense.
It's
all coming together.
As long as they'll leave a comment card informing Ninja City how they can improve.
Ninja City.
I'm not sure how he could have done any better than that at this point. So, anyway, that's the end of that.
Wow.
Oh,
Cleveland. Well, a true ninja is a stealth assassin. You don't do it publicly on social media.
Well,
exactly. You show up at his house in the middle of the night.
Ninja, what a fool.
Ninja City Kitchen.
Ninja City.
All right. Now that we've got.
You shouldn't even be able to use that name anymore.
Nope.
I think it's a chain.
Yeah.
I think it might be a chain.
Exactly. He should have his chain revoked.
How good can Ninja City Cleveland be? Is really my question. I don't know. Anyway, now it's time for this.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool?
All right, first up in cool or tool, Torrey Hunter. Kareem?
I like them as a baseball player, so cool.
Sam?
It's a dude with the name Torrey, who to me is a very feminine name.
With two eyes.
Mm-hmm.
T-O-R-I-I.
Okay, that changes everything. Two eyes. Two eyes are cool. I'll give them that.
Yeah, you know, Torrey Hunter played for my Angels for quite a while. I think he's a good dude overall. I think he means well. I think he's let his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ cloud his good judgment, and probably should take his $18 million a year he was making and shut the fuck up. That's what I'm thinking. And by the way, he lives in Dallas now. Stop making ads for Arkansas. If Arkansas is so great, go live there. Then you can make ads. I might be changing my mind.
Great.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live, Sam.
Saturday Night Live. That was, you're talking about the specific episode.
No, I'm talking about Saturday Night Live in general.
It's gone through some Tool phases, but overall it's a very cool institution.
Kareem?
It's Tool.
Why is that?
I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Even with...
You're more into Mad TV?
Even with all the
Kids in the Hall, baby.
All the black people they... infused in there, it's still a really white show.
That's true.
It is a very white show.
Even that episode was really white.
It's a very Jewish show too.
Yeah.
Well, that's because of the white Jewish writers.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Saturday Night Live is, you know, they're cool. Lorne Michaels is kind of a tool, and he runs the whole thing. I mean, shit, they've been on the air since 75.
I know. I haven't liked it since 75.
No, I completely get
since
that.
Since 78.
Completely get that. And finally in Cooler Tool, Angry Chefs. Kareem?
That guy was a tool.
Sam?
Oh, there's no doubts about the toolishness of that fool.
Yeah. Any angry chef is a tool. Even if it's the Swedish chef.
Watch those racial slurs.
Tool. That's it for Cooler Tool. Hey, by the way, we're getting into the holiday season, and I know this because everywhere I went shopping this past weekend, they're like, "We're getting into the holiday season. It's going to be busy. It's going to be busy."
We're taking down Halloween to put up Christmas.
Oh, I saw a lot of Christmas well before Halloween. So here's what I say. They're going to be busy. It's going to be a pain in the ass to get in and out of the mall. You're going to have to deal with people who are having a bad day. You could even get your car dented, but... you can avoid all that by shopping Amazon through the tab at natedarlingshow.com. That's right. Amazon will have a package delivered right to your door. Even gift wrapped if you like. And the price is often far better than you'll find in the store. At the very least, go and compare. But Go to NateDarlingShow.com first. Click the Shop Amazon tab. It does not cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and we thank you in advance. So holiday shopping, be it for decorations, gifts, or maybe something nice for yourself.
I'm a believer and a Prime member.
I am a Prime member as well. I did go to the mall, and I did. I purchased a new iPad for myself, but I did not purchase the super expensive accessories that they have there.
Right.
They're like, would you like an iPad cover for $50 or an iPad case for $80? And I said, what now?
I'll get the one on Amazon for like, $4 and like, free shipping.
I was like, what now? Yeah, I got an iPad case on Amazon for $9 and change.
That's what's up.
And it may not be as perfectly wonderful as the one at the Apple store, but it's $10 and not $50.
Don't give in to the magic
$50. Talk. So you can mix and match your store shopping and your Amazon shopping if you like.
Yeah.
So
a little hybrid action going on.
Have at it. And what a pain in the ass, because I went to Roseville to the Galleria. What a pain in the ass to try and get out of there. It was a mess. It really was. I would like to find out who designed the parking lot at the Roseville Galleria and punch them right in their genitals.
Yeah.
Hard.
Even if it's a woman and her genitals are mainly interior.
Oh, yeah. Uppercut that. Okay. I would totally uppercut that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's terrible. It's just absolutely the worst.
I think there was a woman who designed it.
Could be. Yeah. I'm not judging. I'm perfectly open to punching a woman in the genitals because it deserves it. All right. Well, what happens when you feel you've been wronged? When you've tried something in good faith that someone has recommended to you, that it had results and you didn't feel good about it because you couldn't duplicate that. Well, an Alabama teenager allegedly told cops that he robbed 4 Subway sandwich shops in less than a week because he was miffed that the Jared diet didn't work for him.
Oh! That's a solid excuse.
That is a good alibi.
Zachary Torrance, who's 18, was captured in a Walmart store on a Thursday after a shopper recognized him from photos posted on the local police's Facebook page. I don't know if he was kidding or not, but he said he had tried the Jared diet and it hadn't worked for him, so he wanted his money back. That's according to Hueytown Police Chief Chuck Hagler.
Wow.
By the way, if I ever find myself in Hueytown, Alabama, something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
Send help. Jared Fogle made national headlines when he lost 245 pounds 15 years ago by eating nothing but turkey Subway sandwiches, and then he became the famous face of the fast food place. Subway, he was in commercials, he's done public speaking about the health benefits of eating healthy, and he is now worth an estimated, and this is what really sickened me, $15 million.
Wow.
For eating turkey sandwiches. Sign me up.
He should have robbed Jared.
Should have robbed Jared. He's got the money, huh?
That's it.
When Torrance was arrested, he was wearing the same outfit, orange shoes and a black jacket that he wore during the robbery of a Subway franchise in the Birmingham area. He was buying a whole...
No way.
Okay. Here's what he was doing in Walmart. This gets better.
What an idiot.
He was in Walmart buying a holster for the gun he had used on his alleged crime spree.
Oh, wow.
Wearing bright orange clothes.
Yeah. They don't even have holsters in Walmart.
In the South, they do.
I guess so. Yeah, it's Alabama. That makes sense.
Oh, God.
The robberies began on a Monday and culminated with 2 stick-ups on a Thursday.
Wow.
He is being held on $250,000 bail.
Mm. He looked like he was a little crazy.
A little.
Yeah.
But crazy comes in all shapes and sizes because a former Reagan aide has a plan, and it involves gay marriage. So maybe Tory Hunter would like to be part of that. He wants states to secede over gay marriage and call the new nation Reagan. Douglas McKinnon is a former aide to President Reagan. He wants southern states to secede over gay marriage. He's the author of The Secessionist States of America, the blueprint for creating a traditional values country. Now. And he told radio host Janet Mefford that the conservative nation should be called Reagan. Quote, for whatever reason, the leaders we're picking are deciding not to stand firmly for traditional values. A civil war, McKinnon said, is necessary to preserve the religious rights of those who oppose gay rights. Tory Hunter. This is what you've aligned with, Tory.
Reagan.
He's got two eyes, though.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan wouldn't even have been for that shit.
Not at all.
Exactly. if you haven't...
Matter of fact, they wouldn't even... The Republicans these days would think Reagan wasn't Republican enough.
Very likely.
No, they actually did that a couple of years ago. It was like, they put out the Republican platform and they're like, is Reagan conservative enough for the Republican platform? And the answer was no, he was not.
No.
So this guy continues... If you happen to make a donation in favor of traditional marriage, you can lose your job. If you happen to refuse to bake a cake for a gay couple because it goes against your religious beliefs, you can be driven out of business. McKinnon said Texas should not play a role in forming the new Reagan nation because, quote, there have been a number of incursions into Texas and other places from the folks in Mexico.
Wow. Not the folks in Mexico.
So
they've got such good salsa.
Exactly.
Shit.
But most of the folks in Mexico are good Christians, so they are on your side.
Yes.
Except...
Those are the people that are voting against gay marriage.
Right. The Mexicans have come...
Does this guy wear orange shoes?
I don't know. He should... I don't know what sort of shoes he wears, but he should have the laces taken away. That's what I know.
Wow.
I know. I don't even know where people come up with this. It's like, you know what? Our religious freedoms are being trampled on by having to watch those gay people get married.
Dude, it's real. I've heard some stuff from the person I work with, and I just shake my head. It's like, wow, you really believe that shit, huh?
Yeah, and they work in California.
Right.
It's like,
wow, you really believe that.
It's amazing, but to secede from the union, it's like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
It went really well the first time you tried that over slavery.
Yeah. No, they still haven't got over that.
No, they haven't. They're gonna do it again, but not with Texas because there's been Mexicans.
Mexicans are all over the South now.
All over this. They're all over everything
everywhere.
Now.
Yeah.
I went a couple of years ago. I went back to Vermont, and I'm walking down. I get off the plane and I go to a grocery store and I'm walking down the bread aisle and I see Bimbo bread and I'm like, what the fuck is this doing here?
Yeah.
I'm like, and it turns out that it used to be all the farms in Vermont, the dairy farms and stuff like that, the people that would work on them were, there were farm kids that would work on them where they born on a small farm and the small farm wasn't big enough to support everybody. So you would go work for a bigger farm. Like, and I grew up on a small farm. I don't want to work on any farm because I don't care for that. So people like me who have left. And the other thing were there were French Canadians like my grandmother who came down and they worked on those farms. Well, that doesn't exist anymore either. So now they are populating the farm workers with people from Mexico and Guatemala and Honduras.
Oh, no.
That's what they did to
immigration reform. They're taking the French-Canadian jobs.
That's what they did to us. That's why I said one of the jokes I tell is white people stop acting like black people, like Mexican people stole your jobs.
No, they're not. I mean, they're not stealing my job.
Because I grew up on a farm in North Carolina, and that's what happened to us was that they brought Mexicans in and... pretty much put us out of business.
Yeah.
Well, no. Don't get me wrong. I could still be working on a farm if I wanted to. So these guys did not drive me out of the farm work.
They drove us out of the farm work.
Well, then. That's a whole other thing.
They're willing to do it for less money.
Yeah, there were only a few people. There were like men who had already worked for 40 years. On the farm, those were the only people that were still working on the farm that weren't Mexican.
Right.
Those were, you know, people that,
They had that seniority.
They had that seniority.
Yeah. it's seniority.
Seniority, yeah. They had that.
Senor.
But, yeah.
Speedy Gonzalez. So
and shit, they, fuck. Matter of fact, I posted this last week to ask who made, how much money, how what was the most money you ever made picking cucumbers?
I saw that.
Because I grew up doing that too.
I want to know.
My sister made like 62 cents one day.
In a day.
In a day. Because they didn't tell her. I'm pretty sure I told her, but she didn't listen. That when you pick cucumbers, the small ones are where the money is.
What? So she's going for the big ones. Thinking,
yes.
Hey, yo.
And most of the people who responded who didn't make any money, they didn't make any money because they picked the big ones instead of the small ones.
Should have listened to her big brother.
Our friend Diana, who does commission shoe sales, probably made 62 cents one day.
Yeah. So the most any one person made, they said $145, and I don't believe him. I think he was lying.
That's a busy day.
Yeah, because everybody else was between 30 and 50 as their highest day.
He must have been scheming some other folks pick for him.
Yeah, and then one other person put that him and his mother and his two brothers made like 400 occasionally in a day, but that was all of them teaming up together to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you didn't even get all your money. You split half of your money with the guy whose field it was.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
62 cents down to 31.
Yeah.
So it's a long
so
day.
So she made $1.24.
Oh,
she
man, that hurts.
That's a rough day.
Yeah.
Different types of farms, too, because in Vermont it's mostly dairy farms. And so it's a different type of work. But still, the fact remains, in various places, they're not coming to steal your jobs. They're coming because there are jobs that they can't fill. And if you're a farmer and you've got jobs to fill and nobody will do it, you have to get workers somewhere.
That wasn't the case with us.
No, I'm not saying it was.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
You could still be picking cucumbers. Yeah, I saw that post and I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about, and I'm just going to walk away from this. Because I have no business in this discussion.
Somebody, really a beautiful allegory for life.
Yeah. One of my other friends was like, is this a gay thing? Like,
Oh, no.
Somebody from out here. Yeah. I was like, yeah, no. And all of my, and then everybody started answering.
Right.
Like all of the people started answering. I had like 30 answers, 30 people answer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good response on that post.
Yeah. I saw about five people that answered, and I'm like, yeah, I the only cucumbers I ever picked, my mother planted cucumbers in the garden, and I would go out and pick like two. But like, go pick a couple cucumbers for dinner.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the end, and I made nothing from that.
Those pickles that you see on the shelf in the jar, they come from somewhere.
Yeah.
They came
and those
from
little gherkins, from those cost the most.
From the little
those
cucumbers,
where the money,
where the money is.
That's where the money is.
Look out.
Cucumbers are where the money is.
That's it.
All right. Well, in Canada, the Halifax Regional Police insist it wasn't a high-speed canoe chase, but after allegedly breaking into a home on Halifax's northwest arm, an inlet on the Halifax Peninsula, suspect was, quote, making a getaway in a red canoe. Cops received a call about the break-in at about 2:50 p.m. last week. The officers who arrived on scene started to board a boat in order to pursue the canoeist by water. We want to thank the citizen.
Would you pursue it?
We want to thank the citizen who offered to allow our officers to board their boat as part of the response to this incident. However, by the time we were able to organize the effort, the man has made his way to land. That's according to police in a press release. So instead, officers headed to both sides of the inlet to catch the alleged thief wherever he landed. The 20-year-old suspect made his way to land, and police arrested him at the Sir Sanford Fleming Park, known to locals as the Dingle.
Oh, no.
With the help of their canine unit, police have since recovered the canoe and the items stolen from the residence. The suspect charged with two counts of break and enter, as well as resisting arrest, possession of housebreaking tools, and theft under $5,000.
What a gangster, once again.
Canadian gangster.
Straight Canadian style.
Straight Canadian
gangster. He
had to
pick the red canoe.
Well, yeah, I mean,
represent motherland.
Anyway, hold on. We'll do this. It's time for Florida Corner. Yeah, we can get some Florida Corner in here.
Mm. It's a nice, warm feeling I'm getting from
Dateline Port St. Lucie. A naked man spotting at a Port St. Lucie intersection told police he felt a, quote, spiritual calling to be outside in his birthday suit and that he saw strange things in the sky. When Port St. Lucie police encountered Keith Burfeld, who's 56, the only thing that he had on was a large metal ring around his testicles.
Huh.
That's according to...
That would make you say things.
Yeah. I was totally with Keith up until that point. No.
What could be called the case of a nude dude with an accessorized private parts began around 10:48 p.m., and that's where police noticed him in the buff. Asked why he was outside naked, Burfield said he felt a, quote, spiritual calling. Mm-hmm. He said he'd been called to his back porch and further moved or called outside when he noticed strange things in the sky.
Does he describe those things? I want to know what he's seeing.
Well, the defendant could not describe what he meant by strange things, but stated that he had been seeing this for the past several days and that standing in the driveway naked with officers was deja vu.
Wow.
He started rambling about a spiritual initiation, and investigators suspected that he may be under the influence of drugs.
It's a safe assumption.
LSD, peyote,
something.
Jesus. He told police he had meth and weed in his home, which is nearby. Police and Burfeld went to his residence, and Burfeld threw on a pair of underwear, which was nice of him. They found a variety of drugs, including LSD, methamphetamine, and marijuana. He was taken to the hospital. Police asked him again why he was outside naked. He said he'd been on drugs and wasn't really sure why.
His buzz was gone. He's like,
oh, shit, what
and
was
how
I
did
doing?
This metal ring end up on my balls? I don't remember that part. This is uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's, you know, you start out with seeing things and then you move on to that. All right, but it's not just the men there. No. Women, too, in Florida.
Nice.
An argument in Florida turned vicious when an incensed woman poured fingernail polish remover over her roommate, then lit it on fire.
Oh, shoot.
The fight, according to a witness, erupted after Carlos Ortiz Jr., who's 42, threw out Melissa Dawn Sellers' spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh, you don't throw out a woman's food?
Nah. You gotta fake it. You gotta eat that.
She was setting little objects on fire, and that turned into pouring nail polish remover all over him. And then all of a sudden, the lighter sparked, and he lit on fire. That's according to a friend of the victim. Sellers had been staying with Ortiz after losing her job at... Where was she working? Care to guess?
Strip club.
Ninja, whatever that... Ninja kitchen.
No, Walmart. The witness said she doused her friend with water and pulled off his shirt, which was on fire. He's hospitalized in critical condition, which is not
critical.
Good, with burns to his face and torso. When he got up, his face was melting, like melting off.
Gross.
His lips were burning. Sellers
saw the arc, huh?
Yeah.
Well, should have ate the meatballs.
The 33-year-old Sellers, now she's charged with aggravated battery. By the way, she has a prior conviction from 2008 for battery, so.
So let's say Ortiz is just an idiot. As soon as she started burning small objects, he should have been gone.
Well, do you have to anticipate that someone's going to throw nail polish remover on you and then light it on fire?
Hey.
Yes.
If your homegirl's upset about you not eating her spaghetti and she starts burning small objects, you better not stick around.
Yeah. The fact, yeah, no. You're, yeah, you deserve to be burned.
Yeah. Face melt.
Well, I don't know if I would go so far as you deserve to be burned. But
stop looking at the arc. Didn't they tell you not to look at the arc? The fuck you looking at the arc for? Now your face is melted.
You did not choose wisely. It's an Indiana Jones reference for anybody who's not keeping track. All right. That's Florida Corner.
That was pleasant.
It was. It's always.
Yes. Well, down in San Diego, someplace very much south of here, and you know, it's a nice place, and people sometimes will protest for things that they decide are important. Well, this time, college students are, well, they held a shit-in to advocate for gender-neutral bathrooms. The group of the San Diego State University students hosted their shit-in in order to raise awareness and advocacy for gender-neutral / gender-non-segregated bathrooms. That's according to a Facebook page for the event. The Trans Asterisk Action and Advocacy Student Coalition, which organized the October 21st event, challenged participants not to use bathrooms marked with men or women signs for 1 week. In addition, 5 toilets were placed outside one of the university's buildings. Resources and information about gender-neutral bathrooms, as well as a pledge and petition for students to sign, were available. The day of the event, we passed out 500 flyers, and by 1 p.m., 70 people 70 pledged to take the gender-neutral bathroom challenge. Students stopped and inquired, took selfies on the toilets, and hashtagged SD.
I wonder how many people got crabs now.
SDSU shit in. The task force member AT
SDSU Krabby.
Yeah, no kidding. News release on the school's website notes gender segregated bathrooms can be intimidating and pose safety threats to people in the trans community. SDSU listed where gender neutral bathrooms are located on campus. These restrooms will provide a safe and necessary alternative for those students. I believe these restrooms are just the beginning of a much larger conversation pertaining to the accessibility on campus for all students. That's according to Executive Vice President for Associated Students, Kevin Hancock. But apparently that's not good enough because the protesters say the campus has 344 gender segregated restrooms and only 15 gender neutral restrooms.
They only have 15 gender confused people.
Right.
I don't know if that's
they
don't
get
even
their
have
own.
15 gender.
I don't know if that's the proper term, but I think
okay,
you're,
so
I think
they
you're
have
being,
two.
I think you're being generous with how many there
they
are.
They have two trans people on campus. Are you supposed to create 15 more than 15 bathrooms for them?
Well, seven of those are located in one building, three in another, and a couple aren't even accessible to students. The restrooms are located in far and inconvenient places. The campus has over 33,000 students. It's time it became more accommodating for those that need to access the bathrooms.
Yeah, take your ass in the bathroom and call it a day.
I say porta potties for all of them.
Yeah. That's it.
Although participants had fun at the event, sitting on the toilets and taking funny pictures, Friara stressed the importance of the message. There's change, but it's not happening fast enough. Everybody keeps saying, oh, we're talking about it. We're having meetings about it. But while you're holding meetings, people are just holding their piss.
Oh!
Pull your dick out behind a bush and go.
Come on.
What if you don't have one? Or what if you used to have one? Either way.
You should have thought about that while you were doing it.
So that's happening. And I really, really try to be sympathetic to all of the causes of people everywhere. But at a certain point, and you brought this up, Kareem. How many people are we really talking about, and how much are we spending in time and resources for this? And there were a lot of people like, oh, well, why don't you just have individual bathrooms in all these dorms? Like, how much do you think it costs to retrofit a bathroom?
That's a lot of fucking money.
In a dorm.
That's a shitload of money.
To redo a bathroom in a house is a fuckload of money.
Yeah.
To redo a bathroom in a dormitory so that you have multiple single bathrooms in the dormitory is a fuckload of money. And by the way, that's coming out of everybody's pocket.
Yeah. The only way I could see this being justified was like the handicap accessible where they literally physically could not use the facilities. These people are capable of walking in, sitting on the john, and making business regardless of who they think they identify with sexually.
Exactly.
Well, you're not having sex in the
bathroom. As long as you're not... fuck. I mean, as long as you're not out in the open, you're good.
Yeah. Throw some stall doors up, man.
The big thing is
go sit in the stall.
The claim is, and this is always the claim, so it makes it impossible to argue against, I don't feel safe or I feel threatened.
You're paranoid and you need to go to a loony bin.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if there could be roving gangs of gay bashers.
There could be.
Roaming through the halls, waiting for that person who is transitioning from male to female to come out of the ladies' room so they can jump them and beat them to death.
But
it's an
not
easier
really
target
likely.
If they have a transgender, trans-confused bathroom. It's an easy target.
It should just be bathroom and with no gender assigned to it.
No.
I'm hearing both sides here. I'm hearing... give me a special bathroom just for me. And then I'm hearing some people say, no, let's all use the same bathroom.
Well, basically what they're saying is it should not be bathroom should not be gender identified.
Yes, they should.
And I'm on your side with this, Kareem.
I don't want period fluids all over my toilet seat.
And exactly. What I found very interesting about this is there was a South Park episode about this very thing where Cartman declared himself a transgendered person. And then he got mad. They finally ended up giving him his very own bathroom, which he was super stoked on, until somebody else claimed that they were also, and then they had to use the same bathroom, and he got mad.
Yeah.
So,
do you imagine, like, with all the stuff that we've talked about as far as men and women, do you know how confusing and crazy that shit would be? Hmm. Especially college kids at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, we haven't, there's enough issues going on there to even throw that in there.
So, yeah, is it a problem where there isn't one? I don't know. It just seems like a lot of... they exist. They're... I don't know.
They exist.
Not but, and the non-gender specific bathrooms exist too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if anybody, I swear to God, no one is getting a urinary tract infection because they're holding their piss.
No.
Because they can't go to the bathroom.
No.
Because then just piss in the shower.
Right.
Like exactly. like right thinking Americans everywhere do.
Walk in and you
I
walk
think I've
in.
Done that one time and I felt disgusted with myself because the fumes rise up and you're breathing in that hot pee fume. You know, the vapor.
You're dehydrated, man. You need to take in more fluids. If it's that bad for
them running.
Yeah.
If you walk in after some chick walks in after some dude takes a big shit, you're like, oh no, they need their own bathroom.
Exactly.
Then you're back to where you were.
I prefer to use my own bathroom at home, anyways.
It's bad times.
I'm with you on that.
Everything is getting very complicated, and a lot of times it's making it complicated for no reason.
Yeah. We need to think it through sometimes.
I mean, shit. Everything's not equal. Period.
That's the bottom line.
Well, and that's a very good point. It's like there's fair, and then there's equal, and you want to be fair with everybody, but you can't necessarily be equal with everybody.
Exactly.
It just doesn't work out that way.
And then the other part about that is, even the people that you're trying to be fair or equal to don't all agree on what is fair and
absolutely
equal in that
not.
Process. So,
Oh, absolutely. And I think while it's one of those things that sounds like you're doing a great thing, I think if you really broke it down, there's a lot of people in that community that are just like going, could you please stop? Putting a fucking magnifying glass on me and just let me go take a dump.
Right. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, it's time to wrap it up with a little small town news.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
It's really weird. Sam cut these before he was on the show. Now he's here.
I hate hearing my own voice. This is freaking me out.
All right. Well, the small town news comes to us from New Hampshire. New Hampshire. It's the only way to get to Maine without leaving the United States. New Hampshire. Armed with the video cameras and pockets full of change, a group of self-styled Robin Hooders patrolled the streets of Keene, New Hampshire, filling expired meters and relentlessly questioning parking enforcement officers whom they believe are stealing from citizens to fill the city's coffers.
Yep.
But that controversial practice is now before New Hampshire's highest court, which is deciding whether the six activists are within their First Amendment rights to carry out such protests. While parking enforcement officers claim their conduct is harassment and interferes with their ability to carry out their job. The Robin Hood protesters are expressing themselves on matters of public concern literally in the public square and holding government officials accountable, said John Meyer, who's representing the six people accused of filling expired parking meters before city employees can issue tickets. What a terrible crime, right?
Bastards.
It's very difficult, important from a constitutional perspective. I would love our founding fathers to be involved with this one. That their expression not be undercut or restricted. They are doing this in a peaceful fashion. Now, the city of Keene, which has a population of roughly 23,000 people, has already brought two suits against the group, the second of which asked for monetary damages. Now, both claims were dismissed by a lower court, prompting the city's appeal. The attorneys for the city, Charles Bauer, told FoxNews.com that the legal argument against the activists has nothing to do with lost revenue or their right to protest under the First Amendment. Quote, I believe in the First Amendment. That's what the country is built on. We're not trying to get them to stop their conduct. It's the proximity and the duration. They're bumping into, swarming around within very close proximity of parking officials, running up closely behind them, spooking or scaring them. They shout at them, calling them bad things like bitch and racist. And, you'll like this one, Kareem, boy.
Boy, I take pleasure in cutting you, boy.
Boy.
See? We want an injunction to ask them to please step back to allow three hardworking people to do their jobs. What I'm asking the Supreme Court of New Hampshire to do is send this back to the lower judge with very specific instructions that all conduct under the umbrella of the First Amendment activities is not absolute.
Not absolute.
Not absolute. James Cleveland, who's the 27-year-old leader of the group and an accountant by trade, believes the city's problem with Robin Hooders is lost revenue. He claims the city lost at least $80,000 last year as a result of the group's conduct.
Nice.
Although the number could not be verified, The parking meters aren't about managing parking. They're about generating revenue for the city. That's what Cleveland told FoxNews.com. A ticket is a threat. If you don't pay it, they'll impound your vehicle, he said. And most of the money from fines doesn't go to improvements. It all goes to the parking department. It's really an insane system, and I think it's theft because the fines are going to the parking department. Cleveland and co-activist Ian Freeman said claims of harassment by their group are complete nonsense. He says, I shoot a video for my protection. If something happens, I want an objective record of what transpired.
Smart man.
I wouldn't mind if parking officials filmed as well. Yeah. The city claims that we harassed, intimidated, and threatened their employees, but they didn't bring criminal charges against us. I think it's obviously a baseless claim. Yeah. They would charge us criminally with harassment if they had a shred of evidence indicating that. So that's what's happening in the Supreme Court of New Hampshire.
I want to go to New Hampshire and have a shit in on every one of those parking meters. It's like,
here's what's going
call
on.
Call up those San Diego students and be like, let's go take some shits on some parking meters.
I've been to Keene, New Hampshire. Here's what's going on in Keene, New Hampshire. Nothing! Nothing! There's nothing going on in Keene, New Hampshire.
He called me a boy. He talked like a weasel at me.
I have now, I've admitted this before on the podcast. I have, in the past, when driving by one of our Sacramento's finest parking enforcement officers while they were writing a ticket, I have, those in fact, bastards. Rolled down my window and booed them.
I support that.
I like roll down the window. I'm like, boo. That's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
And I've been chided for that. But, you know, that's my protest.
It hurts. One time I was at Joe's Crab Shack.
Sure.
It took days just to get my freaking food. To just be seated. And so I took
right, you
note.
you said Joe's Crab Shack. We understand the rest.
And so I'm sitting here paying dire attention to the time. And oh my God, I'm about to hit my limit. I got to put some money in. I don't have any coins or cash or nothing. This was before they put in these nice little card sweeper ones.
Right.
And so I went to make change. I run out there as the freaking meter lady is writing the ticket. I said, I got some money for you right here. Too late. You're going to have to take that to the court. Fuck you, bitch.
Exactly.
I've already started writing the ticket, sir.
I did that. I went to pay a ticket and got a ticket while I was in the courthouse paying
oh,
a ticket.
Oh, no.
And she was writing it I was. Look, I was across the street, and she was standing there waiting for the meter to
tapping
expire.
Her foot.
That's worse than those ambulance chasing lawyers, dude. Yeah. They're filth.
Yeah, I'm looking at her like, okay, I'm like, that's my car right there. And she's standing there looking at the meter waiting for it to click before the light turns.
It's like one of those bad 80s comedies and where you hear the music and everything's going in slow motion. Right. She's licking her lips. You're starting to sweat a little bit.
Like, I'm in the car before she finished writing the ticket.
No way. I would have just driven away.
Yeah. I was tempted, but I was afraid they were going to call the police.
Another
on
ticket.
Well, they wouldn't call the police on you. They'd just mail you the ticket because once they've got your license
got
plate,
your info.
You're good to go.
But I was like, how are you going to give me a ticket with me in the car?
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. You're...
That's... You want to know what's the matter with our economy? That shit right there. I'm with the Robin Hood folks up in New Hampshire. Do your thing.
They're just hardworking people. People yell bad things at us because we're doing this.
Yeah. See, writing people tickets and they're standing at their car.
Right. You were gone an extra 2 minutes. That's going to cost you $50. I don't care how long it takes you to make $50. I'm writing you a ticket. To be fair now, the only parking ticket I ever got in Sacramento, I actually got out of. So it doesn't.
You had that one angel.
My anger. No. There was a whole complicated thing with it. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. It was interesting, to say the least.
No.
Covered a lot of ground. Coming up on Friday, hopefully Diana will make it in from her job-selling shoes and we can talk about some other stuff. We're going to talk about Chelsea Handler's tits, whether she's here or not. That's Friday. In the meantime, here's some Flo Rida. Bye-bye. Can't believe it. White girl got some ass, I want to see it. But I'm bum, but I can't believe it.